Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Great. What a blessing to be here. You may have heard of me talking about this in the past, the school where our kids are have this thing called Papa Camp. So it's the daddies and the grade ones, two, threes that go on a camp every year. And this year, I had my last one because Emily is grade three now. So I had seven with them in a row, 7 years, and they've been such a blessing. But it just astounds you, it astounds me, and I want to encourage the dads, don't underestimate the time that you spend alone with one of your children. Obviously, spend time with all of them as much as you can, but that alone time, make a plan, especially as you get a bit older. I'm not talking about the alone time when you're trying to get them to sleep when they're a baby. That also counts. That's also a blessing. But but later on, that time when you spend alone with them, just make time for that. And invest in the little ones on their own. And so we had a great time. At one part, we did some activities, and we did this weird Buddhist sport type thing where we had to pinch a big ball between our knees and then hop. So guess what? Yeah, I'm very stiff now. I haven't done that kind of thing. I don't know, maybe that's something you should do daily, just to, I don't know what. I'm stiff in places I haven't been stiff for a while. But praise the Lord. We had such a great time. Awesome. It's a blessing to just share the word this morning. And I want to continue a little bit from where Philip was last week. If you missed out last week, please catch up on the podcast or on YouTube. Such a powerful word. And I want to start with scripture from Psalm 42. And I put it in the Amplified. Let's read there. As the deer pants longingly for the water brooks, so my soul pants longingly for you, O God. Translations there, others say, my soul longs for you, O Lord. My soul, my life, my inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and see the face of God? And then we also see David writing, and he says in Psalm 27, verse 4, he says, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And we see this pattern in Scripture. We see great men of God. And David was called a man after God's heart. We see great men of God like David and Moses speaking to God face to face to such an extent that when he came from the presence of God, his face shone, was shining to such an extent that it scared the people. And they had to put a cloth over his face. Imagine you have to walk with a bag over your head to go to work because you're shining from the presence of God. Hallelujah. That'd be awesome. But Joshua, even after Moses left that tent of meeting, he remained in the presence of God. And we see this pattern that fallible, weak, broken people whom God used mightily found something in the presence of God which made them go back there and go again and spend time there. And we see it obviously in the life of Christ as well. We see him drawing aside, going aside, between ministering and between doing everything he did in the night hours, going off on his own to be with his Father. And we see this beautiful pattern in Scripture. And I truly believe that that is what we've been designed for. We see it in the creation. We see God creating man and woman, Adam and Eve, creating them to have dominion with him, to work with him. So there was this incredible partnership, this intimate partnership, not only in, you know, a social kind of partnership, but in a purposeful partnership. So that, I truly believe, is our created purpose. We have been created to have that kind of closeness with God in a purposeful way. Amen? And yet, it's a struggle, isn't it? About you, maybe it's all the holy people here this morning, the rest are at home, but it's such a, I find there's so much that is going against that created purpose. But if we look at Scripture, it actually makes sense. You know, just before I get to that, it's been incredible speaking to people throughout the fast last month and also just this first part of this month, how many people I've spoken that said to me something in the line of, while I was fasting, the Lord showed me, or I noticed how I rely on other things instead of on God. And then you can fill the gaps there, you know, in terms of what it was, that's a lot of what the fast does, isn't it? When we say to God, Lord, are we going to set aside this stuff because our hearts are set on you? And then we notice, oh, I'm actually missing that stuff. I've come into a routine of finding something in many other things that I want to actually find that thing in Christ. Amen? And I've spoken to so many people that have said to me that the fast has kind of brought up things that they need to shift and change. And it's actually not, but I want us to look at the scripture, because this is actually not news. This is actually not something new. This is something that has been around for a while. And let's look what Paul writes about the last days. So if he's saying about the last, I think we are closer to the last days than they were. All right, so let's look at 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And this one I want to focus on. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. And obviously, I want to focus on the negative stuff, but those are the signs of the times, isn't it? We see so much of that. But what I want to add here is that there is an appearance of godliness that he says we should look out for. But it's just an appearance. And I can really relate, because that is how I grew up. I grew up having an appearance of godliness on the surface. That was what my reality in my own life and the life of my family and the community I was in. I can't obviously generalize, not for everybody, but for a large amount of the people around me, this was the norm. There was an appearance of godliness. But if you scratch a little bit under the surface, there wasn't godliness. And I want to draw this through to where Jesus talks to the Jews, the religious leaders. And you should go and read John 8 again, because he is not pulling punches. He's talking very straight. And I can't read the whole thing now, but it's actually quite hectic what he says. So I'm just going to pull out one or two bits here. John 8, verse 31. He says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Can you just pause there? Can you see that they were having an appearance of godliness? They couldn't see that they have been enslaved to something. All right? So, and these were guys that have memorized the scriptures. These are guys that have grew up in the Jewish faith, all right? So even them that, you know, Jesus saying to them that you need to see the truth and be free. All right, let's see how he goes. He answers them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And he carries on. And then he goes on in verse 44, and he says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus is just saying, listen, guys, if you're not following God, if God is not your father, if you're not responding, if you're not being humble about you being deceived and being sinful and being in need of Christ, need of God, then you're deceived, and then you're following another father, all right? But what I want to get to is he speaks of the enemy as the father of lies. And in reality, we see that deception and lies are the biggest and probably the only weapons that he has left. At the cross, Jesus has overcome the devil. He's won the victory for us. The only stuff that he's got left is to deceive and to lie. So that's what he does all day long. And that's what he's really good at. So I think what we need to get that, and we see this through Scripture as well, but we see it around us, that whatever good God created, the enemy is out to take that and to create something that looks almost like it on the surface, but he twists and perverts and changes it to take us into a different direction. So I'll give you an example. So love, all right? God is love. That's who he is. The enemy twists and perverts to a point where there's lust, which from a distance or from a skewed perspective might look also similar in some ways, but it's not at all. Can you get that? So he perverts and he twists and he wants us to go into something. And maybe at the beginning it's just 1 degree off the truth, right? Have you ever had to navigate with a compass if you start with 1 degree out on your bearing that you have to follow and you go for a couple of 100 kilometers, then you are very far from where you need to be. And that's almost how it works. You know, we are deceived a little bit, but if we don't realize it, that deception becomes huge. And if we see again, we are following the perverted, the twisted, we are pursuing something that the enemy has twisted and perverted and changed, and it's we are fulfilling his purposes and not God's purposes. And so what I want to just expose here is that, so in most things in life, there is the truth, there is God's created purpose, and then there's a perversion of that the enemy wants us to go after. Are you with me? And so there's so many things that we are supposed to find in Christ that the enemy would love for us to find that somewhere else. Amen? There's so much of our fulfillment, of our life, and of that we are supposed to find in Christ himself and in his purpose and in his body. The enemy would love for us to find that somewhere else. Are you with me? And I know, it's just amazing how in this fast, some of that's come up. Say, oh my goodness, I've leant on something, or I've relied on something, or I've found peace in something that is not God, that is outside of Christ. Or I find rest in something. For some of us, it's exercise. Clearly not for me. But, you know, for some of us, it's something else, or it's a hobby, or it's a relationship, but it's a place where you find solace and you find comfort and you find peace in something that is not in Christ. And it could be a bunch of different things for everybody, all right? And I just want us to look at a bunch of things here that I believe that there's an invitation for us to turn ourselves back to the actual place, to Christ, to the person we need to find that fulfillment in that that place of peace, that place of rest. Because that's what we were created for. Amen. That is the created purpose. That is the created place. There's no better place. You know, when they teach these guys to spot, when you teach guys that work with currency that to spot a fake bill. Have you ever seen a fake? Some of them are really good. I've seen some that they look exactly the same until you touch them. You're like, this feels weird. Feels different. But so apparently, okay, you can look at that as well. But apparently when the guys are taught to find the fake, they don't study the fakes. They study the real thing. And the more they know the real thing, the easier it is for them to spot the fake. Amen. That, for me, it makes sense. So the more you and I are in the presence of God, the more we pursue Him in Scripture and in worship and in prayer and in all the ways that we engage with God, the more we're going to recognize when the enemy comes with the lie and the deceit. Are you with me? Because we are so familiar with the real thing that the counterfeit is going to be glaringly obvious to us. So yes, I mean, there's so many things that are competing for our attention, are competing for our faith and our energy and our thoughts. And you know, I've spoken to a couple of people that, myself included, I fasted media and just, you know, social media and films, whatever, all kinds of entertainment and stuff like that. And how many of them said, yo, they realized suddenly they have a lot of time. Okay. All right. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but but that, and I found this, I was like, wow. You know what I found? That on most phones, there's this thing, it's called something else on the Apple phones, but on the Android ones, it's called digital well-being, I think, on your settings. You can go there, do yourself a favor, not now, after the service, do yourself a favor and go there. I don't know what the Apple equivalent is. Maybe somebody can help us. But if you go in there, it will show you how much time you spend on the different things on your phone. So if you want to have a bit of shock, go there and see how much time. And then you can decide. Then you can decide, is this a priority for me? Is this a priority for me to spend this amount of time on this thing? Because when I looked at that stuff, I was like, no ways. This is not a priority for me. This is not what I want to be doing with my time. Amen? And then obviously there's some great tools there for you just to make it practical to help you. To put timers and limits and stuff on. But what it did for me is I saw, wow, you know what? I want to spend more time in the Scripture. I want to spend more time with my family. I want to spend more time in the presence of God. So I want to make a conscious decision to shift. Amen? We spoke at the end of last year, we spoke about how do you build new habits. Listen to that again. There's some good practical ways we can say, yo, I want to stop an old bad habit. I want to start a new one. But what I'm saying is that I believe God is inviting us to, there are two aspects. One is to decide, I want to pursue the real thing. I want to pursue Christ for who He is. I want to pursue what I find in Him and in His presence. And the other part is I want to step away. So that is a consecration, and that's what happens in a fast. I mean, we just say, I'm going to step away from some things, and I'm consecrating myself to God in my thoughts, in my physical body. I step away from some foods and things, and I consecrate myself physically, mentally, spiritually to God. It's powerful. But so much of that needs to become a daily discipline. Stepping away from something and saying, Lord, I used to find peace here. I used to find fulfillment here. but I choose not to. I want to find that with you. So I'm, I mean, so there's that part as well. There's an invitation, I believe, today for us to make a shift. Okay. Another one, another guy in the Old Testament, it's such an interesting, it's not a thing, it's not a lot written about it, but it says that Enoch, you remember Enoch? This is the, you know that saying, it's not a saying, it says it's the oldest man that ever lived died before his father did. Did you know that? Makes you look, how's that possible? It's possible because Methuselah, which is the oldest guy, his dad was Enoch. And Enoch, it says the scripture says he walked with God and then God took him. He didn't get to die. God just took him. He was no more. I don't know what that means, but it sounds cool. So he didn't, I don't know, he didn't die or get buried or something. But he walked with God. And I believe there's an invitation for us to say, I want to walk with God. I want to be close with Him. And the reason why I chose that image at the beginning was, it doesn't mean we are not in the storm. It doesn't mean we are not in reality of life. But in the side of the storm, we have the peace of God. Inside of the chaos, sometimes on the good days, on the bad days. But inside of all of that, there is the presence of God. And there's the purpose of God and the peace of God, and that is where I believe we have been created to operate in that space. Okay, so what do we find there? What is the invitation? What is God inviting us to when we pursuing Him as a person and His presence? Let's look have a look at some of these. And we find fullness of joy in Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, you can think for yourself, there's a bunch of counterfeits, right? Out there, wanting to create that euphoria or joy or some kind of happiness. Happiness and joy are not the same thing, right? Wanting to create that high. There's so much out there. But here it says that the only place where we can find fullness of joy is in His presence. Not in a person, not in a sport, not in any career. You can make a list. The only place we can find fullness of joy. And joy is more than happiness. Joy is something that is full and all-encompassing, and it's there when you, whether you are sad, whether you're happy, the joy is still there. It's an interesting thing. Joy is present in the midst of mourning. All right. So the place we find fullness of joy is in Him. All right, let's go on. I love this. One of my favorite scriptures. A bunch of them. Right, Acts 3. After the first sermon in the New Testament church, Peter says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out." And then he says, "That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't we need that? Times of refreshing. But isn't it powerful that he reconnects it with repentance? Repentance, I realize I've been going in the wrong way. I've been finding something in something that is not good. I've been pursuing a life or a direction that is leading to destruction. And repentance means I turn around and I choose to follow Christ. Whether it be in my fulfillment or in whatever it is, but all of those things, I turn around, I repent, and what do I find? Refreshing. Times of refreshing in the presence of God. Amen. Let's go on. Yeah. We find protection. Okay, Psalm 91. He who dwells, dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He guarantees us a place of safety. You know, I believe one of the reasons why the mental health is such an issue and anxiety is because of the amount of information that we receive from all sides all the time. There's such an overload of information that, and obviously a lot of it is not positive. It must have been so great in the days where the guy had to come by horse and bring you a letter or something. Because there's no stuff bugging you. I mean, just sitting there on the boondoos in peace. And then, you know, it takes like 3 weeks for the bad news to reach you. Hallelujah, that's amazing. In any case, but we find that protection and that place of peace in his presence. And then, yeah, peace and rest. And Exodus 33, verse 14 says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. My presence goes with you and I will give with us. Psalm 73:23 says, nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. You are continually, he's with us continually. He holds us by the right hand. He guides us. He counsels us. That is the name, one of the names of the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Parakletos. It means the one who comes alongside us. That is what we find in Him and in His presence. And obviously this list is almost, you know, you can go for quite a long time. But I want to, what I feel is there's an invitation for us to make a shift, to say, Lord, I realize that I've been seduced. It's a good word. Seduced by many things. And I've put, even if it's a small way, and guys, this is not something to, meant to bring condemnation, but I'm trusting it will bring a stir in us, a hunger for Him. Because if we've been seduced, and I can say this because I can see in some parts of my life, I have been seduced to find something in stuff that is not in Christ. Whether it be media, whether it be, you know, affirmation of people, or you can, there's a long list there. But when we find that, when we've been seduced by something and we realize it and we recognize it, the invitation is to say, wow, God, deliver me. I choose to turn back to you now. Turn my heart and find that fulfillment in Christ and in your purpose. And part of that is the body of Christ. So there's so much, and I've been so blessed with this last few weeks again. The way that God ministers to us is through people, mostly, right? Yes, He ministers to us directly as well. Praise the Lord for that. He ministers to us through the Word. But a lot of the ministry that God does is through His people. Fallible, normal people like you and I. And I had a chat with one of the dads at the camp. Great guy. But, you know, I've gotten to know him a bit over the couple of years, and, you know, he's got some habits in his life that he's finding some. But anyway, so I've observed this from a distance. But, you know, we had such a great chat, and he said to me that he's finding that on the long road, he prays a lot, and he can see God is doing something in his life. I mean, and even that discussion with this guy that I wouldn't have, I thought, has a relationship with God, he really encouraged me. And how much more does God minister to us through the people that are in church family with us? So I want to encourage you that some of that solace and that fulfillment we find is meant to be found in the body. So it's not that you find it in a person, but you find it in Christ, in somebody else. Hallelujah. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. And there's such a precious place where He speaks. Sometimes the difficult things, and we need those people so desperately in our lives, that the people that love us enough to tell us the hard things. Amen. If you don't have somebody like that, please pray that dangerous prayer. Say, Lord, I need that person in my life to tell me the hard things. Ask me the hard questions. And God is faithful. But when that person comes, don't get offended and move to a different church. Amen. Yeah, there's laughing, I know. But I've seen this pattern 100 times. You know, people join a church, 6 months, it's all honeymoon phase, it's all lekker, and then it starts iron, sharpening iron, and then, coop, different church. And that cycle starts again. It's all nice and nice, and then the moment that bit of chafing happens, then there's the temptation again. So praise the Lord, we are here, and we are, iron is sharpening iron, and we are able to tell each other the hard things, amen? And we need to encourage one another to do that. I've been told that when I think I've had a really tough conversation with somebody and I've told them something really straight, and my friends told me, no, you didn't. You were just too encouraging. You know, it's like, okay. So I have to find a way to say those things straighter. So you can pray for me for that. Anyways, all right, hallelujah. Let's close. Okay, I was told I shouldn't say that, so let's not close. Let's go on to the next one. Okay, Acts 17:27. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. That is Christ. In him we live and we move and we have our being. He is here. He's with us. And I believe the invitation that he's holding for us today is to consciously decide every morning, every day, say, Lord, I want to live and move and have my being in you more and more every day. That's not a once-off. It's not a tick the box and move on. It's like every morning, God, I need you today and I need in your presence. I cannot go into this day unless you are with me. And I remember when I was on my first outreach, or one of the first longer trips. I've told you about this many times, but it's the one where we cycled around the country, praying for the country, and you cycle a lot, okay? And then the first day or so, you think you can do this in your own strength. The total that we cycle is more than 5,000 kilometers, and you average about 150 kilometers a day. And even if you're very fit, you're not used to doing that for 6 weeks on end. And I remember I came to a point, and I was a young man, I was fit and everything else, but I came to a point when I got injured and I had to really put my trust in God. And I remember I got into this very good, healthy habit. I remember in the mornings, you know, you get up at 4 and you prepare to start, and I used to take a moment to pray. I said, Lord, unless you give me grace today, unless your strength comes and is made perfect in my weakness today, I cannot do this today. And you know, it starts off as a theory, but then it becomes really practical. When you hit that, some of the longer days, almost 200 Ks, and you realize 50 Ks ago, I was at my end. And you realize that the lady behind you is not very sporty. Reached that limit already 100 Ks back. She's been on grace for 150 Ks. Amen? And then you realize, wow, that dependence on Christ is really physically real. And I believe that is the invitation, is for us to come back to even though we are comfortable in many things, this is the challenge, is that in our physical comfort that we would find ourselves consecrated to him. And say, Lord, I need you more than I need all of this stuff. And I choose to find my fulfillment in you, and I choose to consecrate myself to you and to your purpose. I choose, and that is so much of, I choose to lay down my life today, and I choose to take up my cross today. And I choose to follow you, and I choose to find that refreshing and that purpose and that fulfillment in you alone. And this, you know what? I believe this is not a hit you on the head with a stick moment. This is a realizing that I've been pursuing a counterfeit, but there's the real thing that is just eternally and unfathomably better. And because it's real. And the other thing is just the fake. So there's the invitation saying, this is what I have prepared for you. Last week, Philip read the scripture, and I don't think you mentioned it, Matthew 27. This is at the cross. Jesus has carried his cross, and he has already been beaten. He's been tortured. He's been ridiculed. He's taken so much. He's been flogged to within an inch of his life, and just so he can survive. He had to, he carried his cross up the hill, and he was nailed to the cross. He's been stabbed, pierced in his side, and he's been there for hours. He's taken everything upon himself, every curse and every sin and every pain and every suffering that we were supposed to carry, he carried. And then at the end, and this is what Philip mentioned last week, before Christ, nobody could enter the presence of God except the high priest on behalf of the nation. Remember that picture that he showed us? The holiest of holies. Nobody could go in there except the high priest under very specific circumstances and having a rope around his leg that if he were to die in the presence of God, that nobody had to go in and fetch him because they would also die. It's real. And then they would pull him out if there was issues. But there was a huge thick curtain that separated that holiest of holiest place where the presence of God dwelt, a huge thick curtain in the temple, and the people could not go there. Amen. But they had to now do. There was somebody doing it on behalf of the people. Now Jesus has taken our place, and this is what happened at the cross: is that veil, that thick curtain, was torn. Let's read here. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. In that moment, all of creation, all of the universe was shaking and groaning, and stuff was happening. There was earthquakes and lightning and darkness, and graves opened up. Go and read the rest of it. It's just... this all of creation is shaking because of this moment, because the Son of God has paid the price for all of humanity. And in that moment, that massive thick curtain was torn, not from man's side, but from God's side, from top to bottom. God removed that separation through the blood of Jesus. And he says, now we boldly enter. Through the blood of Jesus, we boldly enter his presence. Where before there was somebody in between, now you and I are invited to be there through the blood of Christ. We have access. And I believe that's the invitation today, that he is inviting us to set aside all the counterfeits, all the seduction, and to choose to say, Lord, I cannot believe the miracle of the cross that has opened the way for me, but I choose daily to walk through that curtain. Say, thank you, Lord, for the blood, that I can be in your presence. I want to live here. I want to go in and out and go on a Sunday. I want to live from this place of your presence. Amen. Let's stand this morning. As we were praying before, one of the pictures was that we got was of a river that somebody got as we were praying, and I really believe that is the invitation. Some of us standing next to the river, and the river is the presence of God and the glory of God and the Spirit of God. We are next to the river, and we're with one toe, like checking this thing out. And I believe God has grace for that. Some of us are with our one foot in. Some of us are kind of just checking it out still. Some of us are maybe ankle deep. But I don't know about you. Have you ever experienced that joy of diving in and having the current take you? Being completely immersed. It's a bit scary, to be honest. Especially if your feet are not touching the bottom anymore. The current is so powerful. And you have zero control. Okay? So yes, it is a bit scary for the control freaks in us, right? But I believe God is extending to each one of us to trust Him, to dive in to who He is, into His goodness and His faithfulness, to dive in His presence. And for some of us, it's going to mean taking that stuff that God showed us in the fast and say, Lord, I don't want to just do this 1 month a year, but I want this to be a lifestyle for myself as well. Say, Lord, you've shown me so much that I am finding outside of you. I want you to be my only source of life and health and fullness and joy and fulfillment. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you that you are here right now with us. Thank you that you've poured out your Spirit. Thank you that you are present, Lord, that you are ministering to every heart and every life. Thank you that you have made a way through the blood of Jesus. Yes, Lord, every single one of us are guilty. Every single one of us have deserved and have earned the wages of sin, which is death, Lord. Every single one. Not one of us can say we are righteous in ourselves, Lord. The word says that all all are fallen short of the glory of God. So this morning we humbly come, Lord, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus that has washed us clean. We thank you that you have torn that curtain. We thank you that you have opened the way for us. You have made it possible. You have paid the price so that we can boldly step into your presence and not die, but experience fullness of joy and peace and refreshing and everything else that comes with your love and your peace and your grace, Lord. And as we're standing before you this morning, as eyes are closed, if you are here this morning and you have not yet taken that step of taking hold of that gift of salvation, that great gift of salvation that Jesus purchased for you on the cross, maybe you've known about God or you've heard of Him, but right now you know that you do not have a relationship with Him. Right now you are not sure that you have eternal life. That I'd love to pray with you. He's extending an invitation to you this morning. The Father, the King of Kings, the one who created you, the one who knows you better than you know yourself. He is extending his hand. He's saying, my child, won't you follow me? Won't you lay down your life?
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.